Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This episode is brought to you by Rain Clothing.
That's R-A-N-E Clothing. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their roster of bands as well.
Rain Clothing, on a mission for music.
This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear,
El Jordano Diablo,
and this week we keep the esoteric wormhole that we've opened from last week wide open and go barreling through it. Joining us this week is the proprietor of the Davenport, Jeremy Demery.
Former proprietor.
Former.
It will always be open in our hearts.
That's very true. However, current and only bassist, or no, you were technically the second bassist, but
second,
but it's kind of like a, I'm trying to liken that to somebody else who's like started a band, like Kirk Hammett. Like, he wasn't the original, you're not the Dave Mustaine, you're the Kirk Hammett of all dinosaurs.
It's true.
Except you play bass.
Right.
Right. Okay.
There's an old video of us too that's up, and then people were like, oh yeah, that's when you had short hair. like a really early video of us.
You had a Jufro.
Yeah.
I don't think you could pull that looking at your hair now.
No, because it wasn't him, I would imagine.
No, it was Brandon.
Yeah, it was Brandon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is going to get confusing for about 3 seconds. Jeremy.
Yes, Jeremy.
Why? Yeah. So there it is.
Talk about esoteric.
Why do you hate it when things are going well?
Oh, where to begin? Because I'm really uneasy about it. Like, I know for a fact that when things are going well, it's only eventually going to go to shit. I think George Harrison said it best, all things must pass. And I think that holds true to things that are good or going well or things that make you happy. Those things, they come and they go. Like money.
Yeah.
More going than coming, I guess.
I mean, there's a line in a Tim Berry song where he says, money is a thing of the past. You spend it once and it don't come back. You just got to fucking make more, man. But I get it. But also on the flip side holds true for bad things. And like, I'm fucking living proof of that. But I'm with you, because everything's been going well for me for a while, and I'm just waiting for that other shoe to
drop.
Right.
Well, and we ran into each other, too, when things were going well, and we talked for a second, and then I had to, like, walk away from you. And I think, like, I think even that same evening, you sent me a text like, hey, man, it was good to see you. We should get a beer sometime. I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm not going to do that. Because you were my comrade in, like, misery.
Yeah.
My what's the word? I'm like a commiserator buddy.
Oh, commiserator?
Commiserator buddy.
Commiserable buddy.
Yeah.
At commiserable buddies. Yeah. We'll start a Twitter together.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, I'm still a sad sack of shit. It's just, you know,
it's what I've grown to love and appreciate about you.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, you're like, oh yeah, life's, I was like, hey, Jordan, what's up? He's like, oh, things are good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck this guy. I'm walking away.
People who know me that listen to the show will get that.
Together.
Right. You know, absolutely. We need to cry together again or just drink over
it's
it.
It's like a hot tub of sadness. That's what I wanted to do. Just let it bubble in.
I like that.
I don't want to clean that hot tub.
That's a hairy hot tub, dude.
I just have a feeling nobody's showering before they get in that hot tub.
No, why would you shower before you get in a hot tub? It's hot and there's chlorine in it.
Right. It kills all the bacteria.
It's like taking a bath.
It may kill the bacteria, but it won't kill the shame.
It won't kill the dirt. Also, never fuck in a hot tub.
Oh, God. That sounds awful.
I disagree.
I army crawled out of the hot tub after I came because none of my limbs worked and my heart was racing and I thought I was going to die.
That has nothing to do with the sex. You should have stayed hydrated.
No, I was
hydrated. That's what happened.
He was drinking the hot tub water. What do you mean?
I was 22 years old. I didn't need to stay hydrated. It was obviously a problem with the hot tub. I think I had the temperature on too high is what it was.
Yeah, that word gestating. You're too long.
You're too loose. Yeah. You're too loose. The muscles were too loose in there.
Yeah, that's nothing was too loose in there.
Were you doing the majority of the work? Because I can only imagine fucking in a hot tub. Like, the most comfortable way to do that, I would imagine, where the dude's not doing all the work.
I try not to get involved with the logistics. I'm just happy to be a part of the process, honestly. Yeah.
I agree with that.
I mean, knowing me, she was probably doing most of the work. Yeah. I'm not exactly known for being an active captain.
So, I mean, that's that same situation could be applied to what we're talking about. Everything was going real good. Yeah. Then you came, and everything's going real bad.
Right. Yeah.
Comes and goes. It's an ebb and flow.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die. And you know what? Sometimes I wish I would have. That would have been a good way to go.
I mean, Richard Pryor said his dad, he said, my dad died in some pussy. That's coming and going at the same time. They call that shit recycling.
Old Richard Pryor.
Rest in peace.
So... This hatred has obviously festered from lots and lots of personal experience. So when can you remember is the first time that things were going really well and it was just a matter of time?
So we're getting into this.
Oh, yeah.
This is like I feel like I'm on like an episode of Dr. Katz.
Yeah, it's like therapy. Yeah,
it's like therapy. We're getting into it.
It's therapy with an alcoholic and another crazy person.
Yep.
A couple of bipolar bears.
Yeah. Dude, that's our band name if we ever do that.
So it goes back to the Davenport days. Like
let's preface real quick what that was.
I owned a bar called the Davenport, and it was like a music venue with like it was a legitimate music venue, but it had its roots in punk or the DIY scene. So we try to run it much like we were like a legitimate business with a DIY like
ethos.
The way like everything that all the door money went to bands. If there wasn't much money at the door, we took what we could off the bar. Just so, like, bands got paid.
Right.
We were definitely pro band there. So,
which
like,
at the
it
time,
was great.
Which
it
was
great.
What, 10 years? Even a little over 10 years ago. Or
almost,
just about.
So, we opened May of 2006, and we closed May of 2007.
Okay, so it was, like, 1 year, which coming up on 10 years of that. But, all right, so, because, I mean, I remember going there and shit, but that place, like... At the time, what you really had to work with, like, if you were in a band, there weren't many places to play at that time. Now that class was just opening up.
Spitfire just opened up.
But the like your avenues of playing were Peabody's, Who Fucks Bands. Right. Like, any places like that.
I mean, there were still a couple of good, legitimate venues to play. Like, you know, there was the Beachland. Happy Dog was starting out.
Yeah,
booking shows, and actually it was not even with the current owners, with the old owners.
Yeah, I remember.
And that was a good place to play because they fed you, which was nice. You mean you made decent money off the door, but they gave you a ton of beer tickets and they fed you.
Yeah,
which was awesome. And then there's the Grog Shop. That was a great.
I just mean like starting out, because most starting out bands, what I meant by that was like they would play at Peabody.
Oh, right,
like,
right,
you know,
right,
like
right, yeah.
you know, you know what I mean? The Foundry or the Fantasy, where they book 40 bands, make you sell tickets, and then you end up paying to play pretty much, which is bullshit. So anyway, that's like what I just wanted to get.
And during
get
that time, there was a lot of really good, and we all had come from like the DIY scene.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the time there was the Church, there was Tower 2012 at the time. What other? There was a couple other DIY spots.
Soggy Dog was then. There was a string of houses for a while. But anyway, so going back to the Davenport, like you said, like it started your hatred of this particular feeling started then.
I was 21. I just a little over 21 when we opened up that bar, and I didn't take shit from anybody. I was a self-made man, and now I'm 31, and I take shit from almost everybody. So even Jordan, as sad as that sounds.
Dude, seriously, I take shit from, like, I keep it at bay. You know, I just don't let shit bother me like I used to. Like, I just, when people say shit to me.
Because you're an adult now.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Right.
I'm not even 30 yet. The fuck is this bullshit?
Right.
But no, I get that. It's like, when you're that young, you're not taking shit from anybody. You know everything at that point.
So you think, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then a long story short, it ended up being where a guy who's like a financial backer took three young kids for a ride, like, basically. I mean, he took advantage of young kids who wanted to start their own business and make a future for themselves and fuck them over in the end.
Yeah.
He never registered us as owners. He screwed us over big time. And we basically worked for over a year on that. We worked for 8 months building it, and then it was open for a year. So a year and 8 months, pretty much unemployed and really not making any money.
Right.
You can imagine the amount of debt you can put yourself in that amount of time.
Right.
Thinking he's like, oh, well, once the money starts coming in, then we'll start paying these things off.
Right.
And he just kept dodging us, and that's what kind of happened. So he was a guy who I'm sure there's so many innuendos go with this, but he took advantage of young kids.
Yeah.
there's some innuendos there.
Yeah. I know there's a joke there somewhere. I'm just not placing it.
Yeah. It's, you know, nowadays you'd have to go on the dark web to take advantage of three young kids. But no, he found you.
Yeah.
He went looking.
He hired us at first. Because the reason why we met him was we met him through the Arabica. We all worked at that coffee shop.
The one right next door?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. That job was awesome. That job was like the best job I ever had. We got away with murder at that place. We were assholes to customers. We hardly ever did our jobs. We were
Seth Rogen from Zach and Miri Make a Porno. We just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, basically. It was crazy what we got away with. And like people, it was like almost like it was like the coffee shop. It was like Dick's Last Resort, but as a coffee shop. And people paid us really, like, we were making so much money in tips.
I hope some people
by
get
just
that
being
reference.
Assholes.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
You were a novelty.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's going to say something shitty to you. And that's the kind of service they grew to expect.
Depending on how funny it is how big of a tip you got.
Right.
$1.50. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
I really felt like shit. Here's $3.
So it was like when the other shoe dropped. I mean, yeah, because you were young then. So you really hadn't had much of like that.
I was a baby.
Yeah, like you don't have that, like, life is like, oh, I'm going to make something. By the time I'm 30, I'm not going to have to work anymore.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't really have much of a five-year plan, but I mean, at 21, owning your own business, you're like, oh, well, fuck everybody.
I'm doing better than everybody else, and I'm not making shit.
Yeah, I didn't make any money at that time, but you still felt like, you know, on top of the world because, you know, you had your own place, like a place to call your own. And
right.
You're like, no, I made my own schedule and it was awesome.
Right. And with Bay, I mean,
I could do all the drugs. I can drink all of the beer.
Yeah, you could do it all before everybody opens.
And no one's going to say shit to me about it.
And that place was dark, too. So, you could get away with fucking anything. I did. I drank at that place underage so many times.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I didn't even know that shit was happening.
I said that to Jeremy one time, and he was like, you were part of the problem.
Ryan Yankee. If I would have known about that at the time, I would have been pissed. Now it's like, it's funny because I still, like, a lot of the people that drink underage there are now my friends. And then I'm like, I used to drink at your bar all the time underage. I'm like, what the fuck?
It wasn't hard to get away with there, man.
I almost never bartended there.
No, yeah.
I only ran sound and I took in orders.
Yeah.
Like, you know, beer orders and stuff like that. And I set up meetings with Scene Magazine.
Ooh.
And I placed the Scene Magazine ads. All the ads that we did those were all my
doing.
My brainchild's.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun with that. And I don't know, it's like shit like that I miss.
At 21, I would have loved to do that kind of stuff. Like, because remember, like, when Scene Magazine was a fucking, like, real thing.
Right.
Like, not that it's not now, but it was like, when you're that age, like, that's what you look forward to. It's like, who's coming to town, you know?
Right.
And... like, being able, like, I would have loved that. It's like, I want my job to be putting bands' names on a piece of paper. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Scene Magazine right now, but we can't get into that on this episode. I will tell you later.
All right. More off-mic shit. Dude, we're going to have to do, like, a director's cut thing. Yeah, like, after 100 episodes of, like, we're going to have to, like, do, like, a cut together of all the shit that you weren't allowed to say. Then we'll make people pay for it.
Yeah. It'd be great. There you go.
All right. Well, here's a good spot where you can cut it. And then everything went to shit.
So that was the first time the foot dropped when you realized, fuck, we got fucked.
Yeah.
Since
then, I've had like insane amount of trust issues with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't blame you.
Basically, if you're not my mother, I don't trust you.
Right. Fair enough.
And even she's suspect.
Yeah. she's a problem sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, how close were you with your financial backer?
Close. I mean, I consider that guy like family.
Okay.
He used to come to family events. He was anytime there was like a holiday or anything like that, he would come and hang out with my family and blah, blah, blah. And half of that bar was actually built with my family working on it.
Oh.
Like my uncle Vince did the refrigeration on the back cooler. My uncle Rick's best friend Butch built the bar itself. My uncle Rick did the all the electrical work in there. My uncle Bob helped me with the flooring and in building the stage. And then I built the sound booth and the sound system myself. So 90% of that bar was like built by like my family.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, so, all right. You said you had like the first trust issue. Sorry, I didn't mean to like take the fucking reins from you. I start just get,
you
keep say, asking
yeah,
questions.
You can see him getting sad about
he's,
it.
He's no, like, he's oh, the fuck. He's the host, not me. I'm the one people laugh at.
We're co-hosts.
But no, I'm just curious.
I would say that you're host and he's co-host. But he's a bit,
that's definitely the case.
I have enough titles. I don't care.
All right, so first bonus podcast you're gonna get is all Jeremy's fucking titles.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna sit here and read them like I'm Chris fucking Jericho.
There are a lot. You will need a fancy rolling piece of paper.
That's fine.
That old gag.
Like a scroll?
Yeah.
Just to be clear, the other Jeremy, not me.
No, yeah. And Sheer. Normally, yeah. I just call him Sheer. I don't know why I called him Jeremy. That's...
because it's fun. You've got two Jeremys here.
So far, this has been the only fun thing for me, is watching Jordan get confused.
Now it's up to the listener to decide who's who.
Who's like, he talking
who the
to?
Fuck is he talking about? There's two Jeremys. There's two of them.
However, one is spelled with a G, one is spelled with a J.
Yes. I have the immortal.
You can't. You don't know how it, when you're saying the word or the name Jeremy, they're like, "Oh, he said it. He said Jeremy with a G." When he said, you can hear the affliction on the G part.
Good Jeremy.
Oh, good Jeremy.
This Jeremy is clearly more Eastern European.
I knew this was going to
be
Did
he
fun.
Warn you? Is that what happened? He's like, listen, Jeremy has some Arab background. Let's cool it off.
It's okay. It's okay. He's Jewish, you know? So, well, maybe it's not okay. I don't know.
I feel like we should just arm wrestle.
Man.
The Middle East.
Look at me. Look at me. No, I shouldn't arm wrestle.
We should arm wrestle for the Middle East.
Like, oh. We have like the Cleveland Iron Sheik versus the Cleveland Goldberg.
We both know how this ends. It ends in tears.
It does. It does, because I'll cheat.
Was that... I was going to say, was that a play on your Native American heritage, too? Tears?
No, I would just give him the... I'd just give him the table. I would, like, here, just take my arm.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
How much money you got on you? A nickel? I'll take it.
I have a nickel, actually.
It's not even our table to sell. Pete, your table's gone. The other Eastern European.
Yeah. The other one.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Did he get a producer credit?
He gets shout-outs all the time. And he was on the show. He talked about custom call custom car culture.
You can do it, Jordan. Ugh. I have faith in you, co-host.
That sounds awful.
Because it is awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's a good topic.
It was a great topic. We actually
can
had a
we
lot
go
fun
back
with it.
And change mine?
I want to talk like about that part better, too. Yeah. I want to. Jeremy with a G wants to do car culture part two.
I don't understand it either. I'm on Pete's side of that argument.
Yeah, no, I think we're all on Pete's side of that argument.
Well, not everybody was, but that's for another show.
B-sides?
Yeah.
I like how Jordan and I are trying to do other shows already. And you're like, no, we need to focus on the show we're currently doing.
Yes. Yes. No, we have this seminal trauma in your life that has affected the rest of your dealings.
It's only been tapped a little bit.
Yeah. So you've been betrayed by this person that's basically family. So anytime you're in a good situation, are you looking for somebody that's willing to screw you?
Pretty much. I would say that I'm looking for telltale signs of anybody who's looking to fuck me over in some way, shape, or form. And I'm constantly paranoid. Like, here's a good example. My current job. I like my current job. I enjoy where I work, what I'm doing, who I work with. But I'm constantly asking them, like, am I in trouble? Or what's wrong? Or, like... Because I'm just waiting for me to, like, fuck up somehow.
Yep.
And I, you know, you try to do things to the best of your ability and do it with a good attitude, but you're like, sometimes it's like you're just anxiety of, like, I'm fucking this up.
Yeah. Dude, I couldn't agree more. Like, I got my promotion going on 4 months ago, and I'm good at my job. Like, I'm very good at my job. But I constantly am under, like, this thing in my head where I'm like, because I've been fired from jobs before for very good reasons. I've been fired from jobs before for very bad reasons. And, like, it's hard to know which bosses are actually, like you and are just like, okay, how can this dude make me more money? And, like, I go into work. I mean, like, it's been getting a little easier lately because I've just been keeping the pressure off myself by doing, like, my job well. But, like, I'm just constantly, like, they're gonna pull this one fucking call that I know I fucked up on, and then I'm done. And then I watch all these other assholes, like, fuck up all the time. And I'm like, they're still here.
Right.
Like, so I'm fine.
And they're so casual about it.
Yeah.
I may not be the greatest employee at where I work, but I definitely feel like I deserve an award for being most humble.
Sure.
That would be a difficult award to make.
It would be, but I'm also not humble. When things are, the reason things go bad for me all the fucking time is because I'm not humble at all. I mean, I think I really truly am, but I'm not because, like, my ego is so fucking big that I'm just like, hey, look at me, suck my cock, I'm awesome. And then I'm like, I wonder why people don't like me.
Because you keep waving your cock in their face.
Yeah, that's not a good way to make
friends.
Yeah.
It just bounces a little bit.
It's not a good way to make friends.
That's because you can't get hard anymore.
Too much booze, too much drugs, man. Booze.
Yeah. That's very difficult for you. You kind of have to fuck girls with your balls, don't you?
I got to put one in, one out. One in, one out.
Yep. It's a good plan. I have a video of that on my phone. Not Jordan specifically.
Yeah.
Wrong color balls.
Again, we'll save it for another show.
Yeah. B-sides. B-sides.
B-sides. Definitely. So, you know, you have this anxiety about somehow you're going to cause the disaster. How much responsibility did you take for what happened at the Davenport?
On myself?
Yes.
I'd say very little, because I didn't feel like I had... Because that's the thing, like, we didn't do anything wrong personally, like, especially towards the end there, things were going really well, and that's kind of what led to us figuring out, like, oh, we're getting fucked here.
Okay.
Was because I went to go get a liquor order, and I gave them a check, and they're like, we'd done really well for the last couple of months, there should be, like, somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 in this bank account.
Right.
So cashing a check for $900 for a liquor order is
nothing.
You know, nothing. Yeah. So, and I get a call from the liquor agency saying, like, oh, your check bounced. You need to come in with cash. Or wow. we're gonna call the authorities on your liquor license. I was like, that has to be a mistake, blah blah blah. There should be money. So that's kind of what got the ball rolling. We found out the guy was basically siphoning money out of that bank account to make it look like a failing business so he can write it off on his taxes later. Oof. So he was moving the money around to all of his other businesses.
What an asshole.
So you were just, you were a pawn in his grand scheme of things.
I was indeed.
That's,
I don't want to use his name.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
It's your prerogative.
Yeah, I mean, there's been people called out on this show many a times.
he's like one of the very few people in this world that, like, if I found out tomorrow that something horrible happened to him, I wouldn't bat an eye. Yeah, I wouldn't bat an eye. I would keep moving.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know that I get the satisfaction of knowing that something horrible happened.
Yeah, the other day I saw a picture that somebody posted of himself crying, and I was like, I really don't like you. This is actually doing it for me.
Saved.
Anytime I feel low, oh, look, he's sad. Perfect.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was aware that that's what he was doing.
Making you happy?
Making me happy because he's miserable. But
no, I mean, dude, I'm all about... That's weird. I sound like a total fucking asshole when I say that. But, like, when... I mean, my enemies, I mean, I don't know how many I really have, but, like, I call the people I don't like my enemies. When I see them doing not well,
mm-hmm.
It gives me happiness. I'm just like, you know what? You fucking deserve it. See, there's the old Hordano that you love. Yeah.
There's that guy.
I'll admit, when I saw Jamie Kilstein was disgraced, it made me happy.
Is that, wait, Jamie Kilstein, is that the thing that happened... couple months ago?
It happened a couple months ago, but he headlined VegFest here 1 year and then trashed Jimmy Graham on the radio the next day. So I don't like him.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Wait, that's the dude that just got, like, accused of fucking being a creep, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. He's, like, on a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's unfortunate. I like Jimmy Graham. He's a good guy.
He is.
Funny guy, too.
Very funny.
He had a Jedi braid for a long time.
I remember that.
Padawan braid.
You know what's funny is he doesn't look any different without the Jedi braid. But when I ran into him without it, I'm like, this kid looks familiar. Like, I couldn't place him. I couldn't place him.
Yeah.
Because I used to see him hanging around Now That's Class all the time. And, yeah, as soon as he cut that braid off, I was like, who the hell is this guy?
That's identifying.
Right.
Yeah.
He was always... I didn't even really meet him until after the braid. So, like, when he cut the braid off, like, I couldn't place, like, where I knew him from or where I saw him somewhere. Like, he was a complete mystery. He became a whole new person.
Yeah, sometimes when you get rid of your signature thing, it becomes like that.
That's why I'll never fucking shave the goatee, dude. It's gotta stay now. Like, it's got to.
Oh, that's why you're keeping it.
Yeah. You go ahead, join the club of millions.
Sure, that's why you're keeping it.
And millions that hate it.
I mean, there are a lot of reasons to hate it, Jordan. Every goatee you grow looks like your first goatee.
That's fine. I still look like the devil, and that's kind of what I'm going for.
Well, you know, the devil that a third grader drew.
I'm okay with that. I want to be scary to 8-year-olds. That's what I want to do in my life. I
wanna They're be not scared of you. They're like, I can make that with crayons.
What, have you ever seen Tales in the Hood? A kid made a fucking pictures of that monster.
Yeah.
It was his stepdad, but whatever.
Stepdads are always...
All three of you that got that Tales from the Hood reference, you're welcome.
Very humble, as always.
Oh, yeah, no, the humblest, because that's a word. So, I mean, all the trust issues and shit obviously stem from that.
Yo, yeah.
Like, when was... Is there another defining moment where you're like, fuck this, I'm out?
Well, even just after that, it's like, I lost the bar, the girl I was seeing for a long time had broken up with me pretty frequent, like pretty close after that.
Yeah, that never
happened. So, like, yeah, it was like thing after another, after another, after another. And so now anytime something like builds itself up, it's just like, okay, well, this plane's a crashing.
Yeah,
this plane's a crashing.
The engines haven't exploded yet, but they're gonna.
We got the plane up there. It's gonna come down, and it's not going peacefully.
All you could, when you're guys like us, all you can really pray for is like a survival landing. Like somewhere in a cornfield, maybe a couple people die, a kid gets thrown around and whacks their head, but like that's the best you can pray for.
Right.
Like you're never just gonna land into the airport.
It kind of makes me wish, like, you know, I do like where I work now. I love it.
Yeah.
But it makes me kind of like, well, now that I'm uneasy being happy, it makes me want to just like, well, fuck it. I'm going to quit this job. I'm going to go back to my old one, which I was really unhappy with. Because
and you were there
I
forever,
can feel comfortable,
dude.
And I can feel comfortable. I can feel comfortable again.
You can feel comfortable being unhappy.
Right.
This I know how to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those
Jeremy,
things, like, I know how to
Jeremy
handle
with
this.
A J is now like, now you're speaking my language.
Right. I know how to operate and function in this misery.
Yeah. Yes. This is the shallow end of the pool. I am right. Fine.
I'm not going to drown over here. I don't like it, but I'm going to be okay.
How long does it take before the alarms start going off?
Oh.
For me, immediately.
Maybe not quite immediately. I try to go in with like a positive attitude. But there's always that this one little thing where I'm like, you're bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I care for this person.
No, it's true because it's like, you know, like the first week, first month even, like when you're starting a new job or starting a new position, you're like, oh, yeah, no, this is cool. Like this person's nice and blah, 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 blah. And then like after a month, you're like, I'm not talking to any of these people. I'm just coming here to do my job and I don't give a fuck.
Right. Honeymoon's over.
Yeah, no, seriously,
the honeymoon
dude.
Is over.
And what with relationships, the honeymoon can last like a year. With jobs, it's like a month, and that you'd be lucky.
A year? I'd love to get to a whole year in the honeymoon phase.
I mean, I've had that happen.
I would say after the first couple of months, oh God, we're really getting, even after the first couple of months, me and my girlfriend currently, who we've been together for a while now, after the first couple of months, her and I started arguing over trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, exactly trust issues. Because, like, I would see her, like, talk to somebody, and it's completely innocent conversation. And in my head, I'm like, she's fucking cheating on me.
Oh, dude, no. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that is definitely one of our common grounds. Like, dude, my fucking trust issues when it comes to relationships are gone.
Yeah.
Like, there is, like, when I do occasionally let somebody pass that wall, it's only a matter of time before they fuck it up. Which is not, like, the way to think about it, but it's totally fucking true.
And the sad part is she wasn't doing
it. No, that's... sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
This is a case where she wasn't doing anything besides, like, just conversing with another human being, and I'm so neurotic that, like, I'm like... Fuck, like...
I gotta step in.
And then I ask a bunch of questions, and I'm not sure if I like the answers, and then the answers lead to more questions, and then I keep, like, talking myself into circles of, like... and then I realize, like, oh, at some point or another, I realize, like, oh, I'm crazy, and I need to work on this.
Yeah. What do you do when you get like that now, where it's you're not asking the questions?
I blame the other person. If I were a superhero, my superpower would be to self-project my insecurities onto other people.
Okay.
But see, the thing is, like, I could also, like, to that effect, like, I pride myself on, like, knowing when somebody's fucking lying. Like, I like to think that I always fucking know when somebody's lying. Sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the time
Sometimes
I'm wrong. Most of the time I'm fucking right, though. Because for a long time, I was a big fucking liar. So I know when people are lying. A bullshitter can smell bullshit a mile away.
Never been a good liar.
No?
No, terrible liar.
Well, there's a difference then. I'm not proud of the fact that I can lie well, but I can.
All right, Jordan. Let's see how well you can lie. Two truths and a lie, Jordan. Oh, we're going to play a bachelorette party game.
I don't want to play that.
Yes, we are.
No, I don't want to play
that. Yeah, you brought it up. You're really good at lying, Jordan.
All right. Let me go grab a beer. Talk to Jeremy with a G for a minute.
I felt like that should have been the theme song.
Yeah.
I made it happen.
You know what? You're creating on the fly, and I appreciate that.
I should have taken more improv classes.
I mean, you should have. Because those people are poor and need your money. So, there are some really, really great improvisers in town that I love, but I despise the system of it because you have to pay money in order to advance, and that makes me angry.
Which we talked about with Chris Klemm.
Yes, we did.
On a previous episode.
You got to pay money in order to advance. It's like Scientology.
I mean...
A Freemasonry?
I'm not exactly sure what Freemasonry's actually is, because I know too many guys, they're just weirdo Christians that's their social club.
Yeah.
Improv is a Christian
social club? I got a few friends that are Freemasons.
Oh, Freemasons. I blanked there for a second. I was thinking, I was like, wait, a lot of Christians do improv? That's kind of got to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, right?
So I'm Jesus.
He did the
You're
thing
two of the apostles.
With the water and the walking.
Oh, that would be awful, dude. Christian improv. That's got to be a thing.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I think they call those missions trips. We're just going to go to a poor country and wing it.
Yeah.
Dude, you want to get back into stand-up? Write that fucking joke. Right there.
Hello, noble savages. Would you like to read the Bible? No, we're hungry. Yes, and read the Bible.
Ecclesiastes 35:16 says.
Every time you brain fart, you just say that Jesus. It's like the kids' Bible school where the answer is always Jesus. So if you brain fart during that improv, the Christian improv class or whatever the fuck it is, you just say Jesus and you're fine.
Dude, that's like, if you think that's brainwashing, like that is like legitimately. If you ask a bunch of different questions and the answer is one thing, that's brainwashing.
I mean, my brain could use a good cleanse here and there.
I don't think that you in a Christian setting would be fucking amazing.
I used to be religious.
I was raised a Jehovah's Witness.
I was raised Christian. I went to seminary school for a little bit too. That's not a joke.
I mean it is.
It's funny. Sure, it's funny, but it's not a joke.
What was the moment where you decided I'm done?
Oh God. So I was supposed to go take notes on a particular speaker, and he was talking about the what's the name of that book? They made a movie out of it with Tom Hanks, the
Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
So this pastor was talking about how the Da Vinci Code's blasphemy and all the things that are wrong with it and why it's wrong and why Christians shouldn't go see the movie, they shouldn't read the book, etc. And I simply raised my hand and he called on me and I go, so if I go to purchase this book that you're talking about as if it's a thing, where would I go? What section would I purchase this book from? And he said, the fiction section. And I said, okay, thank you. And I sat down. So in my mind, that guy was like, okay, he might as well have been talking about Huckleberry Finn being the true living Christ.
I actually like the character Huckleberry Finn, so that would be a great pilot.
You just like saying the N word.
No.
You're just like reading that word.
No, no. I love that book, though. That's a good book. It's a very good book. I like Mark Twain.
Mark Twain's all right.
Mark Twain is good. Yeah. It's good stuff.
I like how I'm like, he was all right.
He was okay. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, Dan Brown, however, who wrote Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, not quite up there with John Grisham, the next great American author. Yeah. Okay. I actually had my uncle, who is, you know, still a Jehovah's Witness, and I use air quotes again, as always, on this podcast, but he once told me, John Grisham, we were having a conversation about great authors, and like we were talking about J.R.R. Tolkien and Ernest Hemingway and stuff, and he goes, my uncle, who's just, he's a fucking idiot, dude. I mean, he just is. He's a moron. He dropped out in like ninth grade. Dude's just no shit, right? He was like, yeah, no, I think John Grisham is the next great author in America. Like, I mean, yeah, dude sold millions of books. I mean, I'll give him that. He's no Anne Rice.
He's got money in the bank to show for it.
That doesn't make him great, though. How do we get on authors?
We always go somewhere, Jordan.
We do.
So it's fine.
It's like drunk driving the DeLorean with me.
We'll just listen back.
I can't flip the DeLorean.
Pete, go ahead with that playback. I can't hear it.
Yeah, it's difficult to hear with no headphones, but just have to use your imagination.
It's like we're fucking podcasting in a goddamn garage sale here at Milky Way.
Yeah, except we've already sold a table. So.
Sold the table that the mics are on.
And I'm still dead inside.
I think we could all collectively agree all three of us are probably dead inside.
Oh, there's no question. Things have been festering in there for a long time.
Rotting.
No, they're done rotting. They're just festering. All they're doing is producing disease.
So that's what you think when you watch zombie movies. Like, oh, it's a metaphor for what I feel inside.
Pretty much. That's why I grew up loving George A. Romero and shit, dude. I'm like, I get it.
George A. Romero had a tendency to try to apply zombies to larger world situations, which brings me to my next question. Do you apply this hatred that you have of when things are going well to things that are going on, you know, on a bigger scale? Like, for instance, if, you know, things are going well in the city, are you waiting for that moment where things are going to go bad? Or is it just focused on your own life?
I would say, yeah, definitely. Especially with, like, the last 8 years, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that disagree with me here, but the last 8 years of the Obama administration, I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, Trump's going to become president because it was too good to last.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more with that. It's like, I liked the dude. I really, really did. And then I was just like, what the fuck? Like, literally, what the fuck is going on right now?
Well,
felt like 4 years already, and it hasn't even been 4 months.
60 days, I mean, maybe, something like that. There was a new article today, though, that came out, and this whichever fucking congressman brought it up, had made connections between the Russian shit and Trump stuff, like, during his campaign, and they said this will be the reason he gets impeached, like... I mean, at this point, dude, like, I'm surprised that they're not all being hung for high treason.
Is way better.
Yes.
It's also a great band name. But, like...
Hung treason.
But, like, I mean, all those dudes are, like, I mean, they've committed treason against the United States of America. And everybody's just like, all right, fuck it.
I mean, if Trump gets... impeached, what's the alternative? Pence? Ugh.
They gotta can Ugh. can I say they gotta kill him, or do we have to cut that out?
Buzz,
I mean,
as long as we don't hashtag it, kill Pence.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel about it.
I don't know what we're gonna do except survive.
Or try.
I would say I'm optimistic about Cleveland. I think that Cleveland in and of itself, that's one thing I can say that I'll try and enjoy while it lasts, and then I expect it to go away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I won't be surprised when it's gone, because, you know, We're never supposed to have it to begin with.
Once the gentrification runs right. out, where people are like, okay, we thought this was a good idea. It was cheap to live here. Fuck this. I'm out.
I thought for sure when the Cavs won the championship that the whole city would just stand there just going like, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
What?
The Browns haven't won a championship yet.
Are we supposed to cheer? is that what's supposed to happen? I feel happy. I don't know if I should feel this way.
I think.
yeah, I think. I mean, the points say that
this is a good thing, right?
Up there on the screen, it says that they won. Is that right?
So, dude,
is that supposed to happen?
It's
here?
Funny that you bring that up because, like, the day after, I was like waiting for, like, wait, they can't overturn basketball games, so like we actually won, right? Like, it's not like football where they could be like, you know, if Roger Goodell wants to make some dumbass decision, like, oh no, this is wrong, and blah blah blah, this would have been the score when the game ended. Like, they can't do that in basketball. Kyrie shot that three. LeBron got a free throw. We won 4 points, right?
Yeah. It was that was a marvelous time.
It was a magical night.
I mean, they tried to dispute it.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Everybody in the fucking world. Like, wait, Cleveland has a championship? I don't know.
It's not just sports that things are going well.
It's ungodly.
Heretics.
It is a little weird having a winning sports team, but, you know, I'm more interested in the fact that the comedy scene seems to be doing pretty good. And music scene seems to be doing pretty good.
I'd say that the comedy scene is probably the best it's ever been in that could ever come to mind.
He'd be the one to as know an adult, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of stuff going on, yeah.
And the people doing it too. It's actually legitimately good comedy scene right now.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, the people that are putting on shows, like, know what they're doing, and they're competent enough and funny enough to make it work.
Right.
So you're not, it's a very rare occasion that you're going to be blindsided by a bad show.
Right.
So it's like, if you're going to open mics, it's like, tough, you're at an open mic.
I mean, just like any comedy night, there might be bad spots
here
and there. There may be some lulls, but you're going to have that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that we have a really great comedy scene here in Cleveland is, I think it's pretty rare. I mean, unless you're like,
the fact that you can go to a show where a bunch of people are booked on, and if you see maybe one or two people, let's say there's six people on a show, you see one or two people have a couple minutes fall flat. At least people are trying. At least as a comic, like when you fucking bomb, which I've done plenty of times, like when that happens, as long as you can adjust yourself and be like, okay, that was my fault. It's not the fucking crowd's fault. That was my fault.
My favorite time watching you bomb was when you kept repeating the same joke.
Oh, because I was so shit can fucking wasted. Yeah, I remember that
you
night.
You said the same joke 3-4 different times.
In a row.
You know what? It made it funnier.
Yeah,
the joke wasn't very good.
The fourth time, it was really funny. Yeah. Oh, so you were there that night. Jeremy was there that night. Yeah. Well, Jeremy with a J also was there that night. Yeah.
Jeremy were there.
Yeah, just a couple Jeremys watching me bomb. Yeah. And I was the host.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you were a fucking genius, Jordan.
No, a fucking mess is what I was. That's okay. That's what painkillers and a lot of booze will do to you.
Well, I think also, too, I guess, to stem from that... the religious question too is like when I decided to give up my religion or like my relationship with Christ.
Okay.
When a lot of my friends didn't quite understand because I had a lot, you know, I grew up in a church. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends were religious growing up and we've known each other our whole lives. And they go one day, like to almost like switch the script on them going, well, I don't believe this anymore. Was hard for them, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of them either stopped talking. You know, I still keep up with some of them, but a lot of them stopped talking to me. Not for any bad reason or there was any real blow up. It's just, like, one of those things where you grow apart.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too, is, like, you kind of look at, because you've known so many people so closely for a while, and then you just grow apart, you kind of see... when, like, the older you get, you start seeing what those relationships are that are going to stick, or they're going to eventually
definitely
go their separate ways.
I'd say into your mid-20s, you start to realize who's going to be your friend and who's going to fall to the wayside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a matter of circumstance of who they are, who you are, where you're going, what changes.
Right.
That's something I've noticed in the last 5 years, you know, like, it's like, you know, who stays on the fringe, who you keep close, you know?
Yeah, and again, it's not necessarily even their fault.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm the one who changed. I'm the one who said, like, oh, well, you know, this religious thing is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I can't pretend to believe in it anymore, just so I can maintain these relationships.
Right.
That's the same thing with me. Like, I dated a girl, you know, for 3 years or so, and like the religion. And when we broke up, I had checked out years before, but I was going through the motions for her and for my friends. Once we broke up, I mean, I checked out completely. I was like, I'm done with this, and tried to go through the motions for my parents and friends, and that petered out very quickly. I was like, I can't do this. And unfortunately, I don't talk to some of those people anymore, and that's okay. I'm okay with it. They got to do their thing, but I don't want to be friends with people that don't want to be friends with me simply because I don't believe the same thing they do.
Right.
That's like, that was kind of like my mentality.
I had a weirder exit from my church. I was raised Unitarian, which they're supposed
Junitarian.
To, yeah, Junitarian. That is, that's more accurate to what was going on. But I lost touch with these people, not because I stopped going to church because I realized, like, part of the way in that, like, I had to be way too nice to go to church. It wasn't that I disagree with, like, anything that they were doing, because they're, like, the social justice-y, everything's okay church.
Right.
But, you know, there was a point when I was like, well, I am, like, people are remembering, like, the vicious things I said to them that were in jest and taking them to heart, and I'm just going to continue to hurt people if I stay here. So I had to just push it by the wayside. I still, like, look in on those people every now and again and hope they're doing well. There's no ill will, but it's just
two different trains of thought.
They weren't connecting to the sarcasm.
Well, it wasn't sarcasm. It's just, you know, I'm very mean. It's not sarcastic or anything. I write jokes and they're mean. And
it's to be funny. It's not sarcastic. Yeah, it's right. To be funny.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of it. But, you know, it just, I don't necessarily think that it's more that, you know, I don't have that line where it's like, you can do this with your friends, but you can't do this with strangers. It's like, no, strangers are in my area now, so right. They have to deal with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
so I think that became a problem. And, you know, I just, I don't like when I have to be told what to say.
Right.
It's not I'm not a big fan of that.
So. No, you don't like boundaries as far as like.
No, I hate boundaries. I'm a boundaryless monster.
It's funny, when met you, I was like, this is a guy who really expresses his First Amendment.
Yeah.
He won't be told what he can and cannot say.
Nope. Like, I've said this before on the podcast, is Jeremy was one of the first people to ever, like, obviously, like, take me under his wing when it came to comedy and shit, but, like, when I was hosting that show at the Rowley.
Other Jeremy, not me.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeremy with a J.
I don't like how I'm other Jeremy now.
No, he said other Jeremy. I said Jeremy with a J. However,
what I meant by other Jeremy, I mean other than me.
Other than yeah. You, because obviously, if we've learned anything, you only give a fuck about yourself, so.
It's what I'm here for.
Well, that's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
We're all here for me.
But no, Jeremy was one of the, Sheer was one of the first people to ever be like, hey, like, because I was picking on the crowd one night, and I was also picking on comics that night. I do it to be, you know, I was just doing it to be, I was trying to be him, you know what I mean? And, like, I was, you know, after the show, having beers, talking with people, and he pulled me aside, and he was like, oh, you know, you pissed a couple people off tonight. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I didn't mean to. And he's like, I know you didn't mean to, but you got to watch what you say and who you say it to. I was like, should I apologize? He said, no, never apologize for a joke. The best advice I think I ever got, dude. And I'm not saying sorry.
I almost threw stuff at Anthony last night because he was apologizing.
Boo!
Yeah, no, he ended the show really quickly after. He's like, I'm going to fucking throw something at you. Don't apologize for jokes.
I feel like I should apologize for existing half the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's different. That's, well, unless you consider your existence a joke.
It's there to laugh. It's there to laugh at, actually.
So, I mean, obviously, I mean, we've been talking about shit for a while
now. It may not be a joke, but it's definitely there to laugh at.
It may not be a joke to everybody, but it's a joke to me.
Life is a joke. If you can't find the humor in life, it's like, what are you doing?
So, with that mentality, like, how do you handle the other, to bring it all in, how do you handle the other shoe dropping, you know, the next time?
I mean, because obviously you're not surprised anymore.
Yeah, that's when, honestly, I'm the funniest. And I'm probably the most likable to be around. Because I know how to handle those situations. I make those situations funny.
Right.
And that's the only way I can get through it. And that's the only way I handle it. It's like, okay, this shit's fucked. How can I make myself or make others laugh about it? And I think that's also too what's been a lot of like why a lot of my relationships in the past have ended too, because I can't take anything seriously for too long.
Yeah.
Case in
because
point
if you
was
do, you're gonna get hurt.
There Will Be Blood. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is probably one of the funniest actors who'd ever lived, and I'll go see his movies and I will laugh my ass off because he will deliver those like when that pastor is like slapping him around. He's like, say it, Daniel, say it. And he's like, I've abandoned my boy. And it's this like built up intense moment. And I'm in the back of the theater giggling my ass off.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking hilarious. It is. Like,
the milkshake, dude. That was your like favorite. That was your thing.
Drink your milkshake from all the way over here.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do about it.
God,
he's hilarious.
Love.
It's so funny.
I agree with that. Not so funny in Last of the Mohicans, but he wasn't supposed to be at all. He's supposed to be a badass motherfucker, and he was.
He's still funny to me. So funny. Daniel Day-Lewis is hilarious.
Yeah, I love him. I do. I love him.
I still haven't seen Lincoln.
I fell asleep during Lincoln.
Yeah, dude, it's not very good. But if you want
dry as fuck.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, this is about Abraham Lincoln. What about him? It's just about him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sticking to the facts here.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Spielberg was like, I'm going to make Schindler's List, but with Abraham Lincoln. Just that's what you get.
We're not going to make this any drama.
I would. It's three hours of just like.
It's Martin Scorsese doing the History Channel, essentially.
But that would be interesting. Dude, imagine Scorsese making a fucking Civil War movie. It would be the best Civil War movie right behind Glory, because I love Glory.
That you just described Ken Burns.
What did he make? It was Civil War.
Civil War.
Really? Yeah, was like his first
Are you talking about the one with Jeff Daniels? Like Civil War, like the fucking...
No, he makes documentaries.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Civil War, like the two-part fucking four-hour epic that I have on VHS with Jeff Daniels in it.
I was like, no, you just described Ken Burns.
No, I thought you were... All right, I was talking about somebody else.
There is.
You know what I'm talking about? The fucking early 90s Civil War epic? It's just called Civil War?
No. I don't.
All right, well, let's all watch The Patriot and get drunk. Because Mel Gibson for Mel life, Gibbs. Right?
No.
I hope people
got
that.
Yeah, he's not a fan of yours, is he?
No, not at all.
And he's not a...
He doesn't even know you, but he knows... You know, if you met, you wouldn't like you.
No, he is aware of my existence and has been actively keeping me down.
Yeah. There was one other guy in the past. Who am I thinking of who was like that? Who was...
Hated Jews? Adolf Hitler.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That was clearly who he was thinking of, Jordan.
Yeah.
It's not a long leap from, you know...
Mel Gibson, Adolf Hitler?
Yeah, it's not a long leap at all.
I mean, Adolf Hitler never played William Wallace in a movie.
We just did a bump set spike in comedy.
Boop, boop. Dude, can you imagine us as a volleyball team? Be the sexiest volleyball team ever, dude.
My heart is racing just thinking about it.
I like how
Fuck it. Let's just remake all of Top Gun.
We'd be the sweatiest volleyball team ever.
The sweatiest, hairiest. It'd be a great fucking. I like it.
You misspoke. It's pronounced sweatiest, not sexiest.
Can it be both?
I'm not hydrated enough to sweat.
Swexiest.
Swexiest. That's a fun
one. So, all right. One more question, real quick. All right. So. If you know you're funnier and more likable and all that shit because that's how you deal with it when the other shoe drops, would you say you completely hate that or you anticipate it most of the time?
I would say I completely hate it.
Okay.
But
you deal with it.
I deal with it in my own way. I don't enjoy it.
Right.
But I do like poking fun at it. That's
how to be miserable is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Me too.
Right. Me too. Fuck.
So maybe it is time to learn to be happy.
Not in the cards, buddy.
Yeah, probably not.
Not in the cards for it. I don't think any three of us. We could all be successful at what we do and probably still find a way to be unhappy.
That statement alone made me want to jump out a window.
Luckily, we're only on the first floor, so.
I still want to jump out a window. Jeremy, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah, dude. This was fun.
Casual. Casual.
Cash.
I'm glad you said it and not me.
Podcash.
Oh, God. Cash me outside. How about that? I'm the worst. Shout outs. There's some other urban words that I co-opted.
All Dinosaurs. Let's shout out that band. You got any shows coming up?
April
22nd. April
22nd at Now This Class.
There you go.
With Pete's band.
Our Orca. Pete. This Pete. Yeah. Orca.
Yes. And you can get more information on the Book of Face or wherever you get your Now That's Class information.
A dirty pipeline.
Yeah. I will be doing the roast of Ryan DiPerna this Wednesday at Lakewood Village Tavern.
Possibly featuring a short video of me.
Yeah, if the video gets done in time, which hopefully it will, I have it in my pocket.
Okay.
And, Jordan's in the video, so that'll be fun. And shout out to Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can follow her on the Instagram. Sam Holmes, like you live in, not Holmes, like you hang with. And, of course, Lousy Weather Media, our sponsor, Rain Clothing, R-A-N-E. Not R-A-R-A-I-N, because that's just wet clothes. And you don't want that.
They need that shirt, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a really great slogan.
Yeah, so if you made it all this way through, Sean, why don't you cut that and send it to him. And also, thanks, Pete, our producer, for doing this each and every week here
at
Milky Way Studios. Jordan, I don't think we're ever going to find somebody that hates when things are going well as much as Jeremy.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.